Anything specific you want to ask for prayer for, or anything?
I mean, just health in general. This is the first day I've been out of the house in a week, and I feel like I'm now getting better. You know, it's been like 8 out of the last 10 weeks I've been sick, and a lot of those days just been in bed. So I don't feel, I don't feel depressed, but I think I am, because it's just been so long, and I just don't understand why it's happening. Like, when I was going through my, like, personal sin last year, I kind of understood that, like, this is a cleansing process, and, like, I was, like, looking forward to, like, the fruits of that. And, like, here I don't feel like, I'm like, just, why is this happening, you know? And it's just been, it's not been one thing, it's been multiple sicknesses, and it's just been, I just feel pretty hopeless.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll pray for that. Yeah, come on. That's what we're here for. We're praying to pray for each other. Let me get Art first, and then we'll pray for you. Anything specific, though, Fernando?
Same.
Okay. Amen. All right, Pastor Kevin, Lil, Will, could you lay hands? Just let's pray for our brothers. Dear Father, we stand before you. Lord, in our weakness, you are made. Your strength is made perfect. So, God, truly, there is no God like you who comes alongside the weak to help them. And Lord God, I know that there are things that we are to face together, and it is by grace that we can walk together. But there are things we are to face alone. Jesus, you led the way as you went alone to the garden. But Lord, even when we are alone, we ask for your strength. Lord, we don't ask for you to take everything so that we don't have to do anything. But we know that you give us strength, Lord God, in our bodies, but more importantly, in our spirits. God, I pray for my dear brother, Art. And Lord, it's just one health problem after another. How long, oh God, will you allow this to happen? How long, Lord, will you allow your servant to go through physical suffering and pain? Lord, he thought maybe it's for a cleansing, a spiritual a purification of some sort. And yet, Lord God, he has not walked out of the valley. He has not walked through the tunnel. And it seems like there is no light at the end of it. But God, we cry out to you. And we lay our hands on our dear brother, Lord, to symbolize your hand being laid upon him. Oh, dear God, lay your hand upon us above and below, behind and before, to the left and to the right. Guide us in our way. Lead us, oh God. Search us and try us and see if there's any wicked way in us. But Lord, all the more, lead us in the way everlasting. Father God, I pray for Art. Lord, as he's here, I thank you that you've brought him all the way from Owassa just to be here so that he can be prayed for, to know that he is not walking this path alone. We stand. If he has no power to stand before you, we stand before you on his behalf. We come to the throne of God. We bring our brother on the mat before Jesus Christ, Lord God. And we ask for your touch, your power, your healing power, Lord God, that you are able to touch and to heal, to make him whole, not only in his body, but also in his heart. And Lord, we don't know how, but we know that you know how. And so, Father, we thank you that he's here so that we can pray with him, stand beside him, and Lord, lift him up to you. And I thank you for his vulnerability, his honesty, Lord God. Is his willingness to be open before you and his brothers and sisters. Lord, truly, we're naked, blind, and poor without you. But Lord, with you, Lord, we know that you became poor so that we could be rich. You allowed yourself crucified naked so we could be clothed in your righteousness. Lord God, you fed us, Lord God, with your truth. So I pray for Art, Lord, in all of his need today. Not only for Art, but for our dear brother Fernando. I've known him 20 years, Lord God. And I love him so much, Lord, and I ask you, Lord, to look upon his need, to lay open a road of hope for him. I know, Lord God, I was here, Lord God, when he came to give his life to you. And here we are so many years later, and still, Lord God, we feel so locked in this dark land, this dark place. They're so full of kindness and grace. And yet, Lord, we fight and we struggle, and it's so much attack upon our faith and just upon our health and upon our sanity. And I pray, oh God, for my dear brother, Fernando, whom I've walked in prayer and sat in prayer and wept in prayer for so many years, and I stand with him again today. I know that he lifts me up when I'm in need, and so we lift him up, Lord, as he's in need. And we ask you, Lord God, as he's God given himself to you, we deserve nothing, but you give us everything through Jesus Christ. And I pray, oh God, that you would hear our cries, because I know that you hear the cries. I read it this morning. You hear the cries of your people, and you listen, and you act, and you move. And Lord God, I know that you answer in ways we don't expect. I know that there's times when we just don't know. We think we know the answer, but you answer in a different way, and it's a whole lot better than what we expect. But Lord God, we ask for that answer somehow, some way. And maybe, Lord God, it won't come now, it won't come immediately, but we know that it will come, Lord God. We know as the sun will come again tomorrow, we know as the sun shines, we ask that you would shine and rise, oh God, to bring salvation and healing and wholeness, hope, Lord God. Oh, God, we ask this, Lord God, not in our own power, not in our own strength, not in our own ability, and not that we deserve it, but because you have clothed us in righteousness through Jesus Christ, because, Lord Jesus, you've earned our righteousness, and you've earned our healing, and it is by your stripes that we are healed. So, Lord, we appeal to Jesus. We have no one but Jesus. We have only Jesus to ask, Lord. And so hear us in Jesus' name, oh God. Hear our prayers. Hear our cries. Hear our petitions. Hear us, Lord God, because of Jesus and for his sake. This is our prayer in his name. Amen. Amen. Can I hug you guys? Well, I'm up here, and since we're praying, I would like to ask for prayer, particularly for my family. My only begotten daughter, Narumi, she came down with a fever last night. She's having difficulty sleeping, and so Nahomi is at home with them, all the kids, because if one gets sick, we know all of them. So I think February is going to be a difficult month health-wise for the Habakkuk house, so please pray. And just pray for Narumi. On the other side of that, we celebrated the birthday of our twins yesterday. Yay, praise God. 2 years. So I would like to say that they're healthy, but one of them is not, so... So, praise God for that. We'll be celebrating Kosuke's birthday next week. And then this morning, I got a phone call from my mom, and she was in the hospital room with my Auntie Feli, whom we've been praying for. And I was able to speak with my Auntie Feli on the phone. She was in her right mind. She sounded good. She was chatty. She was making jokes. And that's the Auntie Feli I know, so I praise God for that. Just praying for her to be moved to a hospital near Vancouver, or in Vancouver, where my cousins live. And so they'll be in close proximity to care for her. And so she's in a hospital in the countryside called Creston, BC. So if you could just pray for the wisdom and the timing of her move and all of that. Am I praying today? Michelle was the one moderating. Yeah. Okay, that's fine. So, yeah, if you could remember that. But please come and testify.
Hello. So... A bit over a week ago, I hit the back of my head, which I think some of you know, because I went to the hospital last week to get it checked out, and they did a CT, and everything's okay with the head. And the pain isn't constant anymore, and it's getting better, like, slowly with time. And I wanted to thank you all for offering your help. Yeah. And I also want to thank God that nothing is wrong with my head.
Hello, everyone. My name is Grace. I want to tell you about my neighbor. I've told you about them before. And something happened this week. So I live in an apartment, and it means I have a neighbor. Someone just had their door is just like 1 meter away from mine. So we get to see each other a lot. So one thing that I noticed about my neighbor, she's a typical Japanese person. Their life is very closed, so getting to them is a little difficult for us. And I've grown up in Africa, and neighbors are like your first relatives or your best friends. So you expect like your children can play with their children. I can leave even my kids with them when I go out or something like that. But I came to Japan, and it's just so different. And God has given me a neighbor who is just Japanese. And I know God gives us such kind of people for a purpose. Because previously I lived in Niigata, and it was a little different because I was living in kind of out of town, rural place. So I could get to interact more with my neighbors. But when you live in an apartment or a city, it's very difficult because their life is very closed. And I've always prayed that God will open their hearts for us so that we can get to interact and just spend time, some time together. But it's been very hard. So like for the, initially I didn't invite them to Joyce's birthday party to my house, but the past 2 years I thought that could be a good idea to let them enter my house for Joyce's birthday because it's a good reason. So for the last 2 birthdays of Joyce, my neighbor could come to our house for the first time with her kids to attend Joyce's birthday. But then that was it. Even when I tried to knock her house, like, she'll just open while holding the door and ask what you want, and then that is it, you know. And I already shared with you that her kids actually come to my house because sometimes they'll meet with Joyce in the park, which is outside our building, and then Joyce will go home and they'll just follow Joyce. And they'll just enter and start playing. Of course, the parents will be a little embarrassed and say so many apologies. But I always tell them, it's okay, let them come and play with Joyce. I totally have no problem with that. So something happened this week. And I'm sorry to say, I don't pray that this thing happens to any of you because I've been there. And I know it's not the best feeling when you just come back from a tired work day and you can't enter your house for somebody else's mistake. So my neighbor found herself in this position. She and her husband are working. So her husband always comes late in the night. And her eldest son went to primary school. I'm so grateful for that because at least he will be going with Joyce to school because he will be in Inense in April and Joyce will be in Chinense. So that's like God's blessing to us because he can always go with Joyce because they will go to the same school. So what happened is on Wednesday night, the lady normally comes back first. So she came and her 2 smaller kids are in the same hoiken with Joyce. So she entered the house and then we met her on the way. We are just coming back and she's rushing with her bicycle to pick the 2 girls. So we just said hi and we came home and we entered our house. But what actually happened, her son had come back home and he wasn't feeling well. But she didn't expect that the son will close the door because she kept saying, Nande shimeta wakaranai. So she left her phone and the key and everything in the house and she went to the hoiken to pick the 2 smaller girls. Our hoiken is very near our house, you know, like less than 5 minutes away. But when she came back, the son had closed the door and she rang the bell and couldn't hear. So she said probably because he had kaze, he slept. And even if he slept, why did he close the door? So she was in the same trouble that I was in some time back, you know. Her husband comes like 8 in the night, and this is like 6:30. The son is inside. He can't hear the doorbell, and there is nothing she can do. She doesn't even have her phone. So that's when she rang my door, and I gladly opened, and I said, how can I help you? Said, may I borrow your phone? So I gave her the phone. She said, my son has closed the door. I didn't expect that he will close the door and sleep. So I can't enter the house with my two daughters. So I gave her the phone and she tried to call her phone, which is inside the house. It's ringing, but the son can't hear it. You know, then it just seems he's just so asleep. So what happens is she says, so let me call my husband because now we can't enter our house. So she calls the husband and he asks, who are you? And then he said, it's me. I'm sorry, we can't enter our house. Haru has closed the door and we are just outside. Then he tells her, please come quickly. And he said, the fastest I can get home is 30 minutes, at least 30 minutes later. And so I just tell them, you can come to my house. We stay until your husband comes. He said, really? Can we enter your house? He said, of course. Please come in. And we just got an opportunity to host them unexpectedly for some like 45 minutes. And I was really grateful for that because they didn't plan for that. I didn't plan for that. I don't wish for that to ever happen to them or to me, you know. Your house is like somewhere you want to go and you're tired. But when you can't enter there, you know, you can. And especially having a stressful day, it can really be tough. But we were able to welcome them to our house and serve them snacks and just, they will enter my house and know that it's normal to do that. And I've been praying for these kind of things to happen, you know, because I really want us to be free with my neighbor and I just want to show them love. It's been tough, but I thank God for this kind of opportunity and they felt so like, I don't know in Japanese culture whether you can just go to somebody's, a stranger's house and sit there with your kids and they're running about. But me, I told her, it's okay. And we had a good time until her husband came. That's like after 45 minutes or so. And he was so grateful. And he, of course, apologized so many times that they can shitsurei my house again. But it's not shitsurei to me. I actually pray for that. So not that they are in trouble, but that they can always feel free to enter our house. I'm just with joy. So I told them anytime. And that was Wednesday. Yesterday, again, it happened. You know, we just came back from our busy day with Joyce. And they were playing in the park. And Joyce went to play with them. And then Joyce's favorite program was starting at 6. So I just opened the window and tell her, your program is starting. But then the whole group comes to the house and the mother is not aware, you know. So they come and play and play. And kind of she just knows if the kids are not out, they are in Joyce's house. So she knocks my door after, like, they watch the program together. And she's carrying a lot of gifts and just saying so sorry and we just got to interact again, and I really thank God for that. So please pray for my neighbor. They are called Okamoto family. We just want to show them love and to just show them that it's possible to interact. It's also possible for them to come to our house and just have a good time, not when there is trouble, but just any time, because I keep telling her that, and I know God is beginning to open that door of interaction, and I pray for more opportunities. So thank you so much.
Hello, my name is Jim. Just yesterday, I saw a message from a Chinese friend who lives in a long way away from where the virus is. They're in Sichuan, so western part of Japan. China. Thank you. Yeah, that's right. Correct me. And they were saying, oh, yeah, because there's kind of panic in the cities, even far away. They moved to the parents, grandparents' village in the country, and they were just taking their stuff, and then they were going to close down the road so that no one could get in. Just like a kind of, sounds like a kind of plague or something. But I was just thinking that, you know, and Fernando was saying, this is a time when Christians in China can really shine, can be neighbors. Just like Grace said, you know, there'll be older people who can't go to the supermarket and they'll be starving unless someone helps them. And you can imagine that that's the situation there. And we feel a bit nervous here, but just imagine there, what they're going through. Probably, and it just kind of escalates, I'm sure, the fear and the rumors and the reactions. But it's a chance for Christians there to think, okay, we can put that to one side in a way. And you still have to wash your hands and be careful, but they can still reach out to people and help. So if we can just pray for them.
Good afternoon, my name is Fernando. I just want to ask your prayer request for a friend. Her name is Takahashi, and she's going to have an operation next Thursday, and she's very worried about it. So she asked me to. I asked for prayers for her before. Her family has been going through a lot of problems. Her husband had a pacemaker, and it was safely treated. Her daughter was diagnosed with colon cancer, but it came out better last year in December. And in New Year's, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And then she's going to have to get the surgery next week. So please pray for her. And she's just worried. It's first time ever to be operated. So just pray for her. And I was going to ask for prayers for my family in Louisiana. My cousin that was very helpful to me when I moved to the United States. Her husband passed away on Friday, and he was really kind to me. So I just want to praise the Lord for him and give the family have comfort in their time. So, and a word of praise. My father's birthday is tomorrow, 92. So let's praise the Lord. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Darcy. I wanted to share something I've been thinking about. We're talking to Esther a little bit about this too. I've been thinking about resurrection. I was reading and discussing a book called The Emotionally Healthy Leader with one of my friends, and in one of the chapters, the author writes, like, death and resurrection is a pattern of Christian life. And I'm like, yeah, that's true. That's totally true. And then he proceeds in the rest of the chapter to talk about a lot about, like, kind of the death parts of our lives, right? I'm like, whoa, where's all the conversation about how to handle resurrection in our life? And I was realizing, like, that is so how I approach death and resurrection in my life. Like, I give a lot more focus to all of the dying. And then maybe some kind of resurrection happens, and that's cool. But as a Christian, like, I think we're each called to, like, be just fixated on resurrection in the middle of all the dying. Like, the world looks at all the dying. Everyone sees the things that are broken, the things that are falling apart, the sicknesses. Of course, we need to see that. We need to acknowledge that, right? But I see that. I'm like, yes, yes, I know. I know what it's like to suffer. I know what it's like to lose things. I know what it's like to, like, have Art be sick and how that's a struggle, and we're really doing our best, and, like, God's with us, and I know there's going to be something good, kind of, but I just am like, I think about the dying, and I think about the suffering. I'm not faithful to live, like, just fixated on resurrection. I was reading, and then by chance, unlike my devotion book, it was on 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And Paul writes about death and resurrection. In verse 10, he writes, "You know, we're always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies." And I began to think how I think of, like, death happens, then resurrection happens, then death happens, then resurrection happens. But I think they're always happening at the same time, or often happening at the same time. We carry the death of Jesus so we can carry the life of Jesus. Like, death happens in my life so there can be life already promised that I'm living into because Jesus was already raised from the dead. Does this make sense? Like, I've just been so, like, what have I been doing? Like, I just really feel God wants us to be children who, like, are looking for, like, and humble thyself, you know, he's coming back to take us home. And we're like singing these refrains, and when I come to die, give me Jesus. And like, we have such a hope. But like, do I have it on like Tuesday afternoon? Do I have hope like today after church? Like, do I have hope when I'm really tired and cranky? Like, whoa. Like, I just really feel like the Lord wants all of us. And I'm feeling he's like, Darcy, come on now. Let's learn this together. Like, how to live in that hope of like the always hope of resurrection. And to do it and talk about it in a way that isn't cheesy or like sentimental and silly. You know what I mean? I feel like a lot of these hopeful resurrection ideas in Christianity, like we don't know how to talk about them in ways that are real. And so we just kind of don't. Anyway, so I want to learn about that. So I just wanted to share that so then I'll remember that I want to learn about that. So thanks for listening.